What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every once in a while, you get a PR pitch in your inbox that makes you go, hell yeah, I want to talk about food and football with Vince Wilfork. And so the two-time Super Bowl champion is with us now to celebrate game day foodies and help tackle occasional heartburn so fans can get back to their beloved bites. And he's with us on behalf of Tums, who has teamed up with DraftKings to launch the Tums Fantasy Foodball Pool. The free-to-play online game is the first of its kind, offering a free shot at a share of $40,000 in cash prizes beginning during playoff season and ending big game weekend. The campaign will include four popularity pools where fans will draft their ideal plate for numerous different food themes. They got spicy food, they got sweet food, they even got tailgate food and New Orleans based food, of course, because the Super Bowl is down there in New Orleans this year. Vince, appreciate your time, sir. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Hoffman Show.
Well, thanks for having me. How's everything going?
Hey, man, we're a show that talks about football in Washington, D.C. Things are very, very good right now, thanks to the Commanders. And yeah. I'm so excited to talk to you about, you know, building a winning culture, which has been kind of the goal of the year. And by accident, they've won 13 games and are headed to the divisional round of the playoffs. So when you think back to those early days for what Bill was trying to build with you guys in New England and some of those early like culture building moments, what does it take to get a franchise on the right track and build something that is similar to what Washington has been able to build this year?
Well, first is accountability. You know, being able to have a group of guys that's not afraid to tell each other what we need to do to accomplish this one goal. You know, and you have to have everybody think on the same mindset of what are we here to accomplish. And my biggest thing were always placing people around a winning culture, what it takes to win. You know, and a lot of times you see a lot of people don't know what it's like to win because a lot of people go to colleges that don't win a lot. So you have to teach them the traits of winning. And the more people that you can get around that can teach winning and have the attitude about winning, and the more leadership you have, I think the more successful you will be. And last but not least, you know, it's the brotherhood. You know, we have to be able to all play together as one. It's not nobody that's, you know, selfish, just worrying about themselves. You know, football is a team sport. So everybody has to always be on the same page and work towards the same goal. And if something screws up, we all screwed up. It's not just you. We're not going to point fingers. But how can we minimize the mistakes and minimize bad football? And I think a lot of that is locker room driven, you know. The head coach is only there to give you, you know, the plays, but we have to be able to execute it. So the more guys you have in the locker room that can be a leader and can hold each other accountable, because at the end of the day, this is our team, the successful you would be. So that's a winning culture. You know, it starts with the locker room and it starts with a group of guys believing in each other and putting the team first and being able to execute at a high level all together.
I mean, it's so funny you use that word brotherhood, because that has been the exact term that they've all used this year around that locker room. And I look at a team like Washington compared to, say, a team like Green Bay that just lost. And obviously the Packers had a great season. They're a great team. But they were the youngest roster in the league. And how impactful do you think guys like, or can you maybe explain to those of us that haven't been in an NFL locker room as players, the impact that a guy like Bobby Wagner can have, the choices that Washington made to bring in veteran leadership and not just go full young team like maybe the Packers made that choice to do?
Well, that is huge, because you got to understand he's been part of a winning culture, you know, in throughout his career. So a lot of guys and a lot of the guys that he plays with watched him play, watch him win Super Bowl, watch him be with a great defense and a great team. So they looked up to him. So automatic, when he's on your team, the first thing you think about is what he's been a part of. So when he speaks, you know it's coming from experience and it's coming from a place where they executed at a high level and they won. And he can tell them about the brotherhood that they played with. But if anybody sees how, you know, certain teams play, especially Seattle with the Legion of Boom back in those days, you could tell there was a brotherhood. You know, they played together. They had fun playing, and it showed. So to have somebody in your locker room and on your roster that's been through that, and these young guys already looked up when they probably was in high school, they probably was in college, understanding who this guy is, and now he's my teammate. It's easy for me to listen to somebody like that. I can remember being drafted by New England Patriots, where when I come there, I remember the Willie McGinnis. You know, I know the Teddy Bruschi, the Rodney Harrison, the Richard Seymour, Tywan, all these guys, Tom Brady and Corey Dillon. I knew all these guys because I grew up watching. Like, I'm like, I know these guys. I follow their career, you know, and the leadership, Mike Vrabel, like the leaderships that these guys came with, I already understood what type of player that I wanted to be. Just by what type of players that was already there. So having that as a coach, to be able to have a guy like Bobby Wagner, I mean, it speaks volume to that team. And then not only that, you know, the coach that they have, Coach Quinn, I mean, he's been there. He was in Seattle, then he went to, you know, the Cowboys, and then, you know, he had his little one stint as a head coach, didn't work out. He found who himself back again and came back, and now he's in Washington. Like, he went down the rings, and then he went down this road where he did some self, you know, evaluation of becoming a better head coach and a better person. And now he got a great young quarterback. He got a great young team. They're in Washington, and they're pretty exciting to see. So I love watching them play because you can just see the brotherhood and the excitement and how much in the culture, how much they play for one another. And you can go a long ways being like that.
Vince Wilfork, two-time Super Bowl champ with us here on the Hoffman Show. That young quarterback, pretty good, Jaden Daniels, and not just what he's doing with his arms, with his legs, but he's a part of that brotherhood, the humility he has and in that locker room for sure. But what's it like being even a defensive player, knowing that you have a dude like that? Like, you play with the ultimate, that guy will figure it out guy in Tom. So Jaden, obviously, very different stylistically, but there's a belief being in that locker room, Vince, and talking to those guys. Like, if I had a dollar for every time I had a guy tell me this year, if we got five, we got a chance, I'd have a lot more dollars. So what's it like being in a locker room where that quarterback gives you that chance and there's a belief amongst the 53 because of that?
Well, it gives you everything, because if I have faith in my players around me, it allows me to play fast and allows me to play hard. It allows me to do so many different things where I don't have to worry about what I'm going to get out of my teammate. And have a quarterback like that, especially at that position, that's the key. Is, you know, when you have a leader and they're at that position, and it's easy to play, you know, but it's, you know, when you don't have that leadership quality at that position and they're young, so it's like, okay, well, how are we going to win? We need to figure out ways to help. How can we do this? But to come in the way he came in and just lighten it up, I mean, it's a win-win. So it's easy for a young team to look at their leader in their quarterback and basically ride with him. It's like, we have him. We know we have a chance that can hurt him in the air and on the ground. So you get guys wanting to play more and harder for a guy like that, because you still have to understand he's a young quarterback, so he's going to need help at times. But when you have it young, it's a special thing. So I'm very happy with the success that they're having. I'm very happy with the success he's having as a young quarterback. And, you know, it's a lot needs to be said from the coaching there, you know, just the development and understanding that draft pick and coming in and being successful right away. It's a beautiful sight to see. So I'm excited for him. I'm excited looking to see how far Washington goes. Regardless of how you slice it, I think this year was a very successful year for them. I think they bring a lot of excitement back to Washington. I think a lot of fans are excited about this team going forward. And that's all you need. You know, in this game, if you have a quarterback at that position and you nail it, you have a chance to win. And I think they nailed it. So now they can look in other places to help him along the way, because that position is figured out. We don't have to worry about that. Let's put weapons around him. Let's beef up our team and our roster and bring in people that we know can help in other places to get us over to the next level. So I'm excited to see what they're going to be in the future. And I can't wait.
Vince Wilfork, the two-time Super Bowl champ, is with us here on the Hoffman Show. As we said, he's with us on behalf of Tums and the Fantasy Foodball Pool. And one of the categories, Vince, in this pool that people can vote on online is tailgate food. And now you get to go tailgate. You're retired. I'm curious, though, that's the fans' pregame food. What was a Vince Wilfork pregame meal back in your playing days?
But pregame, my pregame was Saturday, the day before the game, because game day I didn't really eat. That was just one of those things. I wanted to be hungry on the field. So, but the night before I ate everything. My go to was always wings. I was a wings guy, a wings and burger guy.
Okay.
I really wasn't a big pasta guy or a pizza guy. I was that in high school, but in college and all that stuff, it was burgers and wings the day before. And of course, to top it off with some sweets with like my desserts, cookies and brownies and ice cream towards the end of the night. So I was pretty full for 2 days. So I didn't need to eat on game day. I was pretty locked and loaded the day before a game, ready to go. So that's how I handle my pregame, and that's what I wanted to eat before I got going the night before a game.
Now, in the modern, last 5 years, 10 years especially, every team's got a nutritionist. It's a very different thing. Did you ever have a nutritionist be like, no, man, you got to get some more carbs, you got to do this, you got to do that? And you just basically like, look, man, it's working for me. I'm on a Hall of Fame track. Leave me alone.
I did. And that's exactly what happened. So probably the last 5 years of my career, a nutritionist came along and said, it's not healthy to do this and that and that. And I'm like, okay, I'll change some things up. But I was still stuck like, listen, this is what I've done my whole life. This is what I've done for my career. This is what I'm going to do. But I wasn't afraid to eat anything if I had to, back into my career. But those nutritionists came and screwed it up. I'll tell you that, man. They wanted to tell you what to eat and all that stuff. But it worked for me, A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people can't go that long with basically fasting and before. Like, they can't do that because your body works at a certain level. So everybody, each his own. And I was one of those guys where it never bothered me to be on an empty stomach going into a game. And I don't care if it was a 1 o'clock game or 8 o'clock game. It never bothered me.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it never bothered me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I would have guessed if it was an 8 o'clock game, there'd at least be a breakfast or something.
Mental toughness.
Hey, it's all sports are is just a mix of scheme and psychology, and the psychology is quite important. So tell me more about this fantasy foodball pool. How do people vote? What's the ultimate end game here? I see a shot at a share of $40,000. So how did folks get in on that?
Well, first you can go to DraftKings.com/TomsFoodball. And it's four things, right? Yeah, the tailgating that's already finished. Now we're in the spicy. And then after the spicy, we're going to go to sweets. And then we're going to finish it up in New Orleans style cuisine, because that's where the Super Bowl is this year. And you're basically going in. So the more points you get, the more you got a shot, right? So I encourage guys, for one, don't forget, because the more you play, the more points you get, so don't forget that. And just have fun with it. It's a thing between, football and food. And the common denominator is heartburn, right? So that's where Tums come in handy. Because we want to enjoy our food on football Sundays or whenever football is played. We want to enjoy our food, but we got to be able to have that Tums right next to us so we can make sure we can continue to have our good time with food and football. So that's why our Tums come up with.
Yeah, with all the close games the Commanders have played this year. So some heartburn perhaps.
Yeah, some heartburn happened, right? So I'm pretty sure they should have a whole box of them.
last thing, do you have a favorite New Orleans staple? I love going down there. The food down there is so good. It's so amazing. Do you have a favorite etouffee, gumbo, po' boys, favorite spot down there? What's your go-to?
I like all of that stuff, but I'm a boudin guy. But I eat all
okay.
My wife is Louisiana, so I eat all that good stuff, but a lot of people don't understand. They just go down for certain stuff, but all that etouffee, the catfish coubillon, boudin, you name it, gator, you name it. Hey, all that good stuff, but you can't go wrong with New Orleans style cuisine because they are some of the fantastic foodies. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a fun week for you down there. Enjoy it, man. And Vince, really appreciate the time here on the Hoffman Show.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, buddy.